Welcome to the podcast of Revival Life Church, a spirit-filled multicultural church in Boca Raton, Florida. If you would like more information about Revival Life Church or Pastor Carl Thomas, find us on the web at revivallifechurch.org.
Looks good. They say in my direction, I'm like, you're welcome. Oh, you're talking to the model next to me. Whatever. I'll take that. I take it. Amen. You ready for the activity? I believe the activity is going to happen today. Be tuned in, all right? It's happening today. Can you hear me all right? I feel like I'm muted. Can I get a little more monitor there, Mr. JJ? Hallelujah. Is that monitor?
Hello.
No, I think that's it. No, whatever. All right, 1 Peter chapter 2, you guys there? Water baptism tonight. I'm feeling someone's going to get baptized in the Holy Ghost coming up out the water. I always like that. Sarah liked that. I'm feeling someone's going to get baptized in the Holy Ghost coming up out the water tonight. I believe we're going to see some deliverance in the water of baptism also. Can I tell you, I really enjoy what I'm already. I jumped past the message. I'm into my exhortation. What do you know? I like the stuff. I like all the church stuff. I like the greeters. I like the parking lot attendants. I like the signs. I like worship. I like the lights. I like everything that has to do with church. Some people have bad words about church. I think Jesus chose his bride wisely. I love the church. Amen? I love everything about the church. I like the stuff that we do as church. I even like some of the churchy stuff. Let me be honest. I even like some of the churchianity. Just the stuff we do that we call God, but it's really just us. I like it anyways. I like it because I like the church. And I like some rituals. Most rituals were born from an experience or an encounter or a revelation. Oftentimes, by the time they become ritual, they've lost the power. But if you find some of the rituals and you go back far enough, you'll find out there was something behind it. Now, not all of it was God, and we want to get rid of the stuff that isn't. But some of it is. And if it is God, I like to do it with faith. Amen? I am way into my message here. But we have just discovered in this house that there's more to water baptism than getting wet. When I first started ministering, I had a high preponderance of my people I preached to were under 18 and on drugs. And so I would talk to them about getting wet, and that meant something completely different to them. That was kind of meant, on a bit of a, kind of an acid or whatever. But we have found that when you go down in the waters of baptism, Jesus still believes in it. And I found out in the Bible, it hasn't really changed at all. And stuff happens in the water. Are you with me there? And if you're like, I got baptized, what happened? I got baptized. Yeah, what happened? Yes, there's more. Say there's more. There is more. I meet people and they're like, hey, Jesus, I go to church. Okay, that's cool. But are you Jesus? Oh, I go to church. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about interacting with the living God. I first got baptized in the Holy Ghost, receiving communion at a church that didn't believe in it. So I just believe that there's power in stuff. I believe that Jesus still believes in communion. Amen. So I just challenge you, if the Lord talks to you about water baptism, come in faith. 1 Peter chapter 2. Is that right, Travis? Am I good? Josh, you all ready for water baptism? You got the air pump? No, you don't. It's in my trunk. How could you possibly have it? Jesus. Oh, he's got another one. Give it up for Josh. He's on like Donkey Kong. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. Are you ready? Wow, that's some big font right there. You guys got that? That's for when I forget my reading glasses right there. That's like 9 words on a page. You ready to read the Bible? This is Peter talking. He says, but you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who has called you out of darkness into the marvelous light. Let's read it one more time. 1 Peter chapter 2, that's Peter writing. Who's he writing to? You. All right, you ready? He's talking to you. You are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, so that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who has called you out of darkness and into his marvelous light. I got a lot to talk about this, but I'm going to go brief because I have stuff I want to do at the end of service. We don't go to church because you're supposed to go to church. We don't get saved just to avoid hell. Right? I didn't get married so I won't be single. Hey, honey, you want to marry me? Why? Because I don't want to be single. There's probably more than that. Right? Single people, don't pray that you will get married. Pray that you will find the person that God created for you. Right? Right? You hear what I'm saying? Being single isn't something to be fixed. Ask people who did it too quick. You know, a long-term solution to a short-term problem. Don't just wait for God's voice and stuff. And so we don't go to church just to go to church. Now, if you're going to church out of religious obligation, stick with that for a while, right? But believe God for more. But Peter is talking to people here, and he's trying to talk to them a little bit about identity and why we're here. And this scripture preaches real easy because there's three parts to it, but I want to break it down that way anyways, because this is going to edify you, and it's going to lead into what I believe is God encountering us as a house in new ways. We're in October now, halfway through it. We got about 2.5 months left of, what's our year? About 2.5 months left of our best year ever. And if you have not reaped your harvest, it's time to press in faith. It's time to press in faith. And I'm hearing questions like, I don't understand how I'm supposed to believe God for that. I don't understand. It's the renewing of the mind, which we'll get into in a moment. But I want you to believe what I'm about to teach you. I want you to believe it even if you don't believe it. If it doesn't resonate in your life yet, if you say, yeah, but, to what I'm telling you, that tells you that you haven't fully got this as part of your belief system. If you're the kind of person who hears a promise and you say, yeah, but, that's you justifying doubt in everything God speaks to you. Don't empower your doubt. It's a lot easier to say, I believe that to be true. I don't see it in my life. Just say that. God's not scared of that. He's not scared of the truth. He is the truth. He's not scared of it, right? So if you were to say, I fully believe that God can raise the dead, but I don't see that in my life. Awesome. Well, let's pray until we see it. I believe that God wants to bring me into prosperity, or I believe in prosperity, but I don't see it yet. Awesome. You don't see it yet. Give him a chance. I believed in healing my entire salvation. And I saw people healed pretty early on in my walk with Jesus. And it to this day amazes me. It just amazes me every single time I see someone get healed. When I get words of knowledge, it just surprises me every time. Like, I know that they're words of knowledge. I have no problem ministering them. And then they turn out to be true. And I go home and I tell my wife, do you believe that? She's like, yeah, that happens all the time. I'm like, that's amazing. Did you hear that? I didn't know them. She goes, I know. It's in the Bible. We see it all the time. I'm like, I know, but it was me. Isn't that amazing? And but there was something in my heart. I had a hard time believing that God wants everybody healed. Hear me. I know that God wants to heal, right? Nobody has a problem with that. Some people, sometimes. I had a hard time believing that he wants all people healed. Theologically, and I don't have time to lay it out. We have a healing series that you can download for free online. And also we have a USB little thingy that you can buy, $5. It's like buy a CD, USB thing and get a message series free. Plus a cool logo on it. I map it out theologically how God wants all people to be healed. That's why he sent his son to die on a cross. But for me, it wasn't settled in my heart. Does that make sense? I knew it, but I didn't know it. You know when you know that you know that you know something, then faith can be brought to life. Until then, God can work through your doubt. He can work through things. And every now and then, you'll see a little prosperity. You'll see a little success, a little victory. But until you know what my old pastor used to say, until you know in your knower that something is true, then it's kind of hit and miss. I mean, there's things in my life that I know that I know that I know. I know I'm my knower. I know that, Tracy's supposed to be my wife. I know that I'm called to ministry. I know that Jesus Christ has bought me by his precious blood. I know that God wants to heal everybody. There's no doubt in my mind about that at this point. Are you with me? But that was a journey of me finding out what God said about it and having my heart transformed to his. Are you with me? And there's many things that I've had to take that journey. And there's things that I'm on that journey with right now that I know what God has spoken to me, but I don't necessarily believe it yet. You hear what I'm saying? Can you be honest enough to say there's things that you know that you don't necessarily believe yet? It's amazing how many people get married to somebody and don't believe that they love them. They don't know that they know that they know. They still doubt. They still have to ask. When there's conflict in the marriage, they wonder. Suspicion. Because their mind has not been renewed. Are you with me on that? Okay, that's another story. Fighting up here. Just give me a second. Excellent. All right. 1 Peter 2:9, he says, but you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. You are, let's look at that again, a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. He says that you are a race, a priesthood, and a nation. Now, this is Peter taking God's word to the Jews, to the Israelites in Exodus, and now saying, guess what? You, believers in Christ, are in a new covenant. Just like they had a covenant, you have a covenant. And when God makes a covenant, he's not wishy-washy, and he doesn't ramp up into it. You know, like when you start dating somebody and you say you like them, and then they start to expect your text before you go to bed. Right? We're at that point of the relationship that I get one at night and the morning. Next level. Right? Like they don't plan something on Friday now without talking to you first. Next level. Deleting old phone numbers. Next level. All of a sudden they have like 9 Pizza Hut phone numbers. They're deleting those. Next level. I know what y'all do. Why's a Pizza Hut calling you, honey? Must have a sale. Ladies, I hate to uncover my friends, the fellas, but if they're getting texts from Pizza Hut, my wife's in charge of pastoral care. You might want to set up a meeting. But Jesus doesn't ramp up relationship like that. He's all in. Right? God promised something and he's all in. Listen, I've given you all my heart instantly. Everything that I've called you to, you have access to right now. Full faith. You're fully baptized in. You're fully a member of the tribe. You're fully a part of the priesthood. You're fully a part of the nation. You are my beloved son. This isn't your foster care for a while to see if this works out. All right, we're dating but not engaged to see how you treat me. We're engaged but not married. When's the wedding? Well, I'll talk to you about it later. You know, this isn't how God does things. God's like, I love you. You've received me. We're in this together. That's good news, right? I'm in it forever. I'm in. That's how God. And Peter's letting folks know, listen. You're not who you used to be anymore. You're not who you used to be. And he quoted basically Moses in Exodus 19:6. He says, you shall be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words you shall speak to the people of Israel. So he's telling them, listen, you're going to let folks know that you are a nation of priests. Now, here's what's important to understand. This is what God wanted all along. This is what he wanted in the garden. A people who are separated to him. This is what he wanted when he went on the cross. This is what he wants right now for you. This was always his plan. He's always looking for a people who would say, yes, I'm yours. I'm fully yours, right? Because God already said, I'm fully yours. Will you be fully mine? And so, you know, there's these pop culture likes to say there's a battle between God and the devil. And we know that there's no battle there at all. He kicked him out of heaven and then proved it to him by defeating him on the cross, right? I mean, there's no contest there. The battle is between you and God. That's it. Either you're following him or you're not. I mean, he's already defeated the devil and given you a way to follow him. Right? You hear what I'm saying, right? He's given you victory already. He's already said, listen, you're mine. Follow me. Do what I do. And then every now and then we're like, yeah, I'll follow you. I'm yours. And, you know, I'm texting the pizza guy. You know what I'm saying? Like it's... I'm not. I'm good. Praise Jesus. I'm good. I'm good. I'm not confessing anything here. I'm good. But hear me. He fully, like, it's It's already been settled. The battle's in our minds. Who are we going to follow? What are we going to believe? Who are we going to be a part of? What is your tribe? Who do you identify with? Is your first identity with the called out ones, or is your first identity with a music? Is it with an artist? Is it with a fashion brand? Is it with sin? Is it with, where does your identity come from? If your identity comes from your sexuality, you got a problem. That you weren't given sexuality for an identity. I've never once gone up to anybody and said, I'm interested in women. Like, that's weird. That's, no, I'm a child of God. That's who I am. That's who I am. I'm a child of God. If your identity is through what brand you wear or what sport you're a part of, or if your identity comes from how you dress, you just a little bit higher. We need to come up just a little bit higher. Just a little bit higher, right? Your identity doesn't come even through your gender. He says there's now neither male nor female. Why? He's saying, listen, it's you as a child of God. This is who you are. This is who you're created to be. The world doesn't understand that. And so the world has to create their own identity. Where Jesus already laid one out for you. You know, I love when my wife lays out an outfit for me. I'm like, this is good. I don't have to pick it out at all. This is great. I'm just going to put it on. See, for me, Jesus laid out an outfit. I'm like, hey, I'll just take that one. It's all ready for me. I'm done trying to figure out who I am. I'll just let you decide, the one who created me. I'll let you tell me how you created me instead of me trying to tell the world something that I invented. All right, I don't have time to get into that, but this was God's desire all along, that we would be a kingdom of priests. Let me hear you say that. A kingdom of priests, right? So we're in a kingdom, we're in the kingdom of God, and we're all priests, right? The pastors these days are not the priests. That is just a really, really bad analogy. Some people teach these scriptures, and there's a similar passage in the book of Revelation that says, I've made you kings and priests. And the way the teaching goes is some people are priests, some people are kings, and some people are somewhere in there. No, we're all priests to God. That's to say, you know, if that teaching were true, let's take it to its ultimate understanding, and that would mean that some of us can talk to God and some of us just make money. There's no mediator between God and man other than the man Christ Jesus. Amen? Amen? And he says again in the next verse, in 1 Peter 2:10, the next verse, he says, he kind of clarifies on this one point. He says, for once you were not a people, 2:10, for once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. You had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Who are you? The people of God. The people of God are priests before their God. Why are you a priest? Because you do things right? No. Let's look at the verse. Put it back up, right, part you just had. It says, you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. The people of God are the people who have received mercy from God. He's laid it out for everybody. Some people have received it. He's laid out mercy for everybody. He died on the cross for all. Some people choose to receive that mercy. Other people choose to create their own identity. Some people have received the mercy of God, the forgiveness of their sins. They've recognized that Jesus Christ is Savior. Other people have not. They can't be the people of God because they have not received mercy. Right? We're not the people of God because we do things well, and we're not the people of God because we know how to tell other people how to live. That's a good word right there. We're the people of God, not because of what we've done, but because we just received his mercy. Right? It's important to get that in your heart and in your spirit. I'm beleaguering this because it's really important to understand that I am a child of God, not because of me, not because of, you know, how I, you know, used my cable remote last night. Unfortunately, I used it to watch the Gators lose. it was close, though. It's not, you know, and it's amazing how people judge their walk based on how they perform in a certain area that they consider the most important part of their walk. Now, I'm going to make an illustration. I hope I'm not boring you. I feel like I have to make this point. Mikey, stand up. Mikey, will you tell everybody what you're dealing with in your heart of hearts that would be sin that you struggle with? Sometimes you only give 40%, you want to give 50. Is that it right there? So let's say, Mike, face the people if you would. Let's just guess that Mikey's dealing with something. Something. The 40. Mikey's dealing with something, right? Can we all agree that Mikey's dealing with something? And sometimes Mikey stumbles in that. And when Mikey stumbles, he feels bad. Bad, right? Gabby, would you stand up, please? How many know that Gabby's dealing with something? Face the people if you would. Bear your shame. No. Mike, how old are you? Michael's 26. How old are you? You're 21. And you're single and you live with your parents, yes? You are, and you have a pregnant wife. Okay? You serve in different ministry areas, yeah? Pretty much completely different lives, right? Yep. It's a good guess that you're dealing with something and it's different than what he's dealing with, right? It's probably a good guess, right? Now, excuse me? You're talking to me on stage? Because I know it must be important because you told me you hate that. So whatever Mikey's dealing with, whatever Mikey's dealing with that makes his countenance fall low, she's not thinking about it at all. And whatever you're dealing with that makes your countenance fall low, I'm guessing he's not dealing with it at all. Now, what if, let's just say that the Lord has told her that she's supposed to pray 2 hours a day. Whatever, right? We'll just say that, right? And so she falls short of that sometimes. And let's say the Lord has told Mikey that he is to bring worship before the Lord every night at 8. And he set apart that time, right? And so let's say that she prays, 3 hours some days and an hour other days. But she never brings worship before the Lord at 8. She's never feeling guilty about not worshiping at 8. Right? That never makes her feel bad. You sometimes pray, probably. You got a pregnant wife, so you're praying without ceasing. But you may or may not. What's that? Someone's dealing with it? They're handling something over there. Sit down, Travis. They're handling something. But Mikey here, every now and then he forgets to worship at 8. That's not bothering her at all, right? And so we set up in our heart as the one thing that matters to God. When the main thing that matters to God is, have you received mercy? Thank you, Gabby. Work on that thing, though, and you too. Listen, we're the people of God not because we do a specific thing correctly or because he has shown us mercy. But pastor, if you tell people that, they'll think it's okay to sin. Well, that's stupid. That's just stupid. I got to put them under legalism because if not, they'll not have a relationship with Holy Spirit and receive conviction. What? No. I'm pretty sure there's big sections of the New Testament that say legalism doesn't work. Let's just trust Holy Spirit, right? And so we are, we're God's people because we've received his mercy and responded to his call to be a follower, right? Right? And so you are God's people because you've received his grace and mercy, right? And so when you received it, you became part of the priesthood. Thank you. You became part of the priesthood. You don't have to go get trained in that. It's just who you are. Now, since that's who you are, you better figure out what it means so you can just operate well. Not to earn your place as a priest, right? And now, biblically, the priesthood is a birthright. See, in the Old Testament, the children of Israel were split into 12 groups or tribes. And God had selected that one group were going to be the priests. And when you became a certain age, that was it. Hey, you're it. They trained you going up to that, but you're it. Just by your birthright, you become a priest. It's the same in the New Testament. It's part of your birthright. When you're born into the kingdom, you are born part of the lineage of priests. Are you with me? I'm going to read you a little bit about the priesthood. Can I do that? It says, the chief privilege of a priest is access to God. Under law, the high priest only could enter the holiest of all, and that was once a year. But when Christ died, the veil, which was a type of Christ's human body, was rent. It was torn. So that now the believer priests, equally with Christ, the high priest, have access to God in the holiest place. You see, when you get born again, just like the veil was separating people from the holiest place, the veil was Christ's body and the Holy Spirit was in him. But now that we're born, Christ's body was broken for us. His Spirit was poured out. The water and the blood were poured out. We now have access straight to the holy God because of our birthright. Amen. That's good news. That's good news. That's good news. And as priests, we got a job to do. It's a birthright of every believer, and it's a job. There's a job that we have to do. We're going to talk a little bit more about that at the very end, but there's a job as priests. There's a job as priests, but you're part of the priesthood. You're part of a holy priesthood. Are you with me here? It's part of your birthright. So we see in 1 Peter 2:9, you're a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, right? A people for God's own possession. First one was race, priesthood, nation. Number two, we're a people for God's own possession. We're a people for God's own possession. Acts 20:28 records what Paul had spoken to the elders of Ephesus. And he told them, hey, shepherd the church of God that he has purchased with his own blood. You see, we were lost. Lost. And the enemy owned us. Even though God had created us and we were lost, Jesus went and bought us back with his own blood. And we were already his because he created us. But because of our disobedience to sin, we gave ourselves to the enemy. The enemy then owned us. That's why they call it being possessed by the devil. Oh, you're saying I'm possessed? Are you a follower of Jesus? Then you're owned by somebody. And you gave your birthright to the enemy. He now owns it. I sold my soul to the devil. Jesus got it. And so Jesus went and bought it back with his blood. I want you to hear this. Jesus bought you back with his blood. That means you're not your own anymore. You are his possession when you come into faith in Christ Jesus. It has far less to do with your behavior and your actions than your faith in Christ that he bought you at salvation. Don't hear what I'm not saying. I'm not saying it's okay to sin. Sin is bad. If you're sinning and you don't have a problem with it, check your relationship with God because you have hardened your heart to the conviction of sin. But that's a byproduct of relationship, not the point of it. That's a byproduct of your relationship with the holy God. It's not the point of your relationship with God to stop doing bad things. When you have a relationship with the holy God, you want to stop doing bad things. If you find yourself not living the life you know you're called to, check your relationship with God. You don't stop them to fix your relationship with God. You get your relationship with God going so that is choked out of your life. You hear me? Because he owns you and he's not getting what he paid for. It's good news. Paul said to Titus, he talked about Jesus, says he gave himself for us to redeem us from every lawless deed. And to purify for himself a people for his own possession, zealous for good deeds. He didn't buy you so he could have entertainment. You're not like his ticket to the movies where he goes and he looks at you like, you better do something that makes me happy. You better do something to make me happy. He's like, no, I bought them for a purpose. Bought them for a purpose. I'm getting excited right now. It's a people for God's own possession. If God really owned you, what would change in your life? What if the things of your life were not your concern? All right, here we go. Watch this. Back to 1 Peter 2:9. Are you with me? Are you getting anything out of this? I could do something else, like scream and stuff. Some people like that. Tell you how wicked you are and how God. Can I do a side note? I heard a prophetic word last night. No. I heard a word that was called prophetic last night. Sometimes I just want to be like, oh, they tried. And other times I'm like, I'm waiting for the rebuke, right? And so I heard somebody give a word that they said was prophetic last night. And it started with, the day is coming that the Keys will be no more. The Florida Keys will be gone. In fact, everything south of I-4 will be destroyed in a great earthquake. I'm like, well, there's no plates in Florida, so that's going to be pretty difficult. I mean, earthquakes come from plate tectonics. You know that, right? It's not a manifestation of God's anger. Right? They're not there, so he has a way to punish people. There's plates floating on the earth, and they collide, and they cause earthquakes. You with me, right? And there's none of those in Florida. Am I upsetting anybody right now? Tell me God's angry. His wrath was satisfied at the cross. It's going to have to go with the Bible. If God wants to wipe out Florida, everybody knows he uses hurricanes, right? I mean, there was a city one time named Sodom that is no more because God was angry at it. He didn't have to use a hurricane or anything. Anyways, 1 Peter 2:9. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession. So that. That means everything we said is for this reason. It's not just random trivia that Peter was putting out there. It's like, he said, I have a point. There's a reason God did this. Ready? You're a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, so that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who has called you out of darkness and into his marvelous light. Hallelujah! He's done all those things for a reason. God has been messing with me recently, really challenged me, really filling in some gaps in my theology. I've been asking questions for years, and some things are starting to make sense to me. And Sam talked about part of it earlier. In Romans 12, 2, he talks about, don't be conformed to this world, be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. It's the same scripture here. We need to have our minds renewed into who we really are. Why? So we can do the stuff he told us to do. You can't do the stuff he told you to do until you understand what he has done for you, what he has accomplished for you, and what he's empowered you to do. Okay, let me say it this way. We talk about, a long time ago, I used this illustration that Danny Silk used. And he had this thing. The first time I heard this, I was in Toronto. He was teaching this to the pastors. And he had this video where he called, it was from this insurance company called the Trunk Monkey. Anybody remember this? And in the Trunk Monkey was like this guy was driving his car. And this guy had a road rage incident, right? And the guy in the road rage incident comes out and starts beating on his window. Ah, you blah, 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 blah. And on his dash was this button that said Trunk Monkey. And when he pressed the Trunk Monkey button, this monkey came out of the trunk with a bat and hit the guy on the head that was beating on the window. And I was like, "That's where are we going with this?" And he said, the Holy Ghost is not your trunk monkey. I don't need to deal with the issues of life. Holy Spirit will do it for me. No. No, what we need to do is understand what he's empowered us to do and go do it. Now hear me. That's not just the stuff in church. That's not just the spiritual stuff. What that means is everything is spiritual stuff. Take authority over your life and do well. He's not our trunk monkey. He's not the one where, oh, well, God, I've created a really bad mess with my friend by gossiping on them, and they found out about it. Lord, please come and do something. He's like, okay, here's what I'll do. I'll demonstrate repentance. and I'll tell you to go ask for forgiveness. That's what it looks like when Holy Spirit takes control of an incident like that. He tells you to go do the thing that you've been empowered to do. And then you got to humble yourself and say, hey, guess what? I sinned against you. Will you please forgive me? It was wrong. I did it on purpose. I'm not blaming anybody. How many times has someone asked for forgiveness and they blamed everybody but themselves while they're asking forgiveness? Sweet Jesus, don't tell me you're sorry that they did the wrong thing. Like, that's not what repentance looks like. I feel something on that right there. If things aren't going well, at some point we miss Jesus. Can I just be honest? We have to be able to say, I missed it somewhere. It's not his fault. I've been through rough times in Christ, and I can trace most of them back to bad decisions. Not bad decisions he made. As much as I like to blame them on him, and as much as my prayer sounded like in those days that I needed him to do something, he was like, I already did something. Unfortunately, I did it 5 years ago and you didn't pay attention, and now here's where we are. And sometimes we don't recognize that we miss the path until we just go down the road. And sometimes you find yourself in a relationship that's bad, and you're like, I knew. You sit in a counseling session and people are like, here's where we're at. And we're like, yeah. And they're like, I knew when I started this relationship, but I just thought, and here you are 5, 6, 7 years down the road. Now, how do you unfold this thing? I don't know. It starts with repentance and believing what God said. Now, how do we make it right? How do we clean up the mess that we made? We make a mess and then we ask God to come clean it. Here's what maturity in Christ looks like. You recognize your messes, and you take responsibility for them, and you begin cleaning them up with God's help. Not, I made a mess of this thing. Oh, boy, I'm going to find a new church. That's what cleaning the mess is for a lot of people. Oh, they won't let me on the choir just because I came to church high once. Like, got to find a new church. No, what we need to do is let people know that that was a mistake and we're dealing with it and begin walking it out. Does that make sense? And we got to stop blaming people for the mistakes that we made. But more focused on this scripture, Jesus is telling us through the scriptures that we're his. You are his. And he's called you to something amazing. He's called you to live in this kingdom that he's creating, this kingdom comprised of the called out ones who have the Spirit of God in them and on them, who stand in the realm of faith. And they were put in this realm of faith. And not for nothing, when you get saved, you don't get sucked up into heaven. Why? Because we're here for a reason. We're here for a reason. If it was just get saved, get water baptized, and wait to go to heaven, you know, we just drown you in the waters, right? We'll just speed it up. Let's go on home. No. He saved you here now for a reason. I had a good friend when I got saved named Mohammed. His name actually was, I'll say it anyway, Syed Mohammed Ali Karim. I still remember it. And he was from Pakistan. And we got saved around the same time. And he told me, he said, you know, the followers of Islam, they go on a Hajj. They're supposed to go on a Hajj once in their life. You know this? Recently they just had it. Like 1,700 people were killed in a stampede. Unfortunately, a couple million people go on it each year. And he said, people wait until they're older because you get your sins forgiven at the Hajj. So people wait till they're very old to go on it. Like, wow, that's not, we have something better. I'm here for a reason. I'm not here waiting. It's not all about what I'm able to do. It's not all about, did I do the right thing? Did I do something that's going to upset him? No, he's now dealt with the sin issue. I now get to follow him freely in everything I'm called to do. Now, on that walk, I find out I'm not doing things really well, because that's part of relationship. You know, you get married, and 5 years down the road, you're like, I am a better spouse than I was. I'm so thankful that we were equally messed up, because I thought it was all you. 5 years down the road, I realize you put up with some stuff too. And if you're at the 5-year mark and you don't think they see that they're doing stuff wrong, give it like 2 more years. About 7 years in is when you really start dealing with the real stuff, all right? And you just walk on and you feel like, whoo, I'm glad I'm not that person I was. And I'm glad you're not that person you were, you know? And right? It's like that with Jesus, you know? Guess what? You're going to get saved. You're not going to do stuff well. You're going to get stuff wrong. It's not all going to get fixed at once in your life, but spiritually, it's perfect. Spiritually, it's perfect, and it has to manifest itself outward. And what God is saying is, listen, I saved you. You don't have to be like the pastor. Like, you know, it's not like when you get things worked out with whoever you consider to be a spiritual giant, then I'll start using you. You got to be like the worship leader who, you know, the only time you see, if you just come to Sunday church and, you know, maybe Sunday night church, or maybe prayer, the only time you see us is when we're being spiritual. You can't compare yourself to people that you only see in church. That's not helpful. It's like comparing yourself to models, you know, like they don't even look like that right now. Like they didn't look like that when they took the picture. Right? You're comparing yourself to a false image. Jesus is like, we're here right now. We're gonna get better at this thing. But don't wait till you get better at this thing. Hear me. Don't wait till you get better at this thing to do what I've called you to do. Why? Because the enemy will make sure you never get better at that thing. If all it takes to keep you out of your destiny is that you struggle with that one thing, the prayer thing or the worship thing, what do you think the enemy's going to come at? You got to get in your spirit. Listen, I'm going to do whatever. I'm going to do it. I mean, I might not do it well, but I'm doing it. I'm not waiting till later. I'm doing it. I said in my heart, I'm doing it on Tuesday. And Monday was like I was born from the pit of hell. I don't care. I'm still doing it Tuesday. Every demon in my life comes, I'm still going Tuesday. I wish you would try again on Wednesday because I'll go Thursday if you do. Come on. You hear what I'm talking about? You just got to say in your heart, I'm going to serve Jesus. I'm going to do what I was called to do. Hear me. He has called you out of darkness and into light. That's it. We don't have to preach that we do things well. We don't have to preach that we get it perfect. It says it right here in Romans 12, 2. So that you may prove what is the will of God, what the will of God is, that he has called you out of darkness and into light. Listen, this whole phrase right here, to prove the will of God, it is erupting in my heart and challenging me in ways that I can't explain. And I'm the pastor of this church, so that means that's something we're going to be going after here for a little bit. Okay, I'm going to say this and then we're going to end. You're called to do something, right? God has told you something. There's stuff that you believe. There's stuff that we believe that we don't see in our life, right? Right? You know the will of God, and he's showed you his will in an area of your life, right? Your life mission is to prove it. That's what the Bible tells us. Well, I believe God can heal anything. Yeah, prove it. Prove it. I believe God loves generosity. Oh, yeah, prove it. Prove it. The offering basket's right there. Prove it. Prove it. I believe God wants everybody saved. Oh, you do? You believe God? Prove it. Prove God wants everybody saved. I don't know how to do that. Here's what you do. You start telling everybody that Jesus wants to see them get saved. And eventually you'll get better at it. And eventually you will prove that God wants everybody to get saved. I believe that God heals. Oh, yeah, prove it. I don't know if I can. Well, you better figure out how. Because that God has revealed his will to you. Oh, I'm just going to hit this for one more minute, and then we're going to transition here. Listen. We treat prophetic words like M&Ms, you know? Like we got a bowl of them, we just snack on them now and then. Oh, look, I like the green ones. I'm only going to eat the green ones. Like Jesus talked to you and it's just like a snack? What? That's a little something that I add to myself for pleasure? What? Sweet Jesus, you got a prophetic word? You write that thing down and you read it till you believe it. And then prove that it's true. Begin proving that it's true. What's that mean? That means you better start doing something in that regard. Oh, God has called me to be a worship leader. Do you own an instrument? No. What are you waiting for? Well, my trunk monkey will come and make me an amazing worship leader. Guess what? It doesn't work that way. Come on, become a pastor of a church. Pastor, God has called me to preach to 10,000 people. Can I preach next week? Show me that you can preach to 10. Find 8 people that want to hear you. Well, I don't know how to do that. Okay, well, work with 2. Work with people who know you. Make your family want to hear you. Prove God's will in your life. You know what that's going to force? It's going to force God's will to transform who you are so you can line up with it. Well, I don't pray for people right now, but God said I'm going to have a healing ministry. Guess what you're going to have to do then? Start praying for people. Oh, if it's God's will, he'll do it. What do you mean he'll do it? Yeah, he sent his son to die on a cross. There's your sign to go do it. You want a sign? He said, this is the only sign that's going to be given. Man's going to be in the belly of the beast for 3 days and come back. Boom, Jesus dead, 3 days, comes back. There's your sign. Start doing what he told you to do. Or just say, I got a word. I'm praying through it to see if it's a prophetic word for my life. Don't tell me God has called you to do something that you're not doing. Oh, come on now. We're called to prove his will. And guess what? I have a specific will of God over my life that I'm trying to figure out how to get in motion. But you know what? There's also a revealed will of God for everybody. God wants everybody to be saved. I don't care what lie from hell that you heard from the Reformation. He wants everybody to be saved. I don't care about the doctrine of demons that say he created some people to go to hell. If there's a more wicked doctrine on this planet, I don't know what it is, that Jesus is sending some people to hell because he wants to. That's a lie from the devil. People go to hell over his dead body. You hear what I'm saying? He didn't want anybody. You could go if you want. I know, but that's not his desire. You could choose whatever door you want. Choose life, right? So I know. If you believe it, I disagree with you. Interwebs. He wants everybody healed. Amen? Listen, he wants everybody physically healed. Amen? Listen, if you're crazy, he wants you mentally healed. Amen? I'm talking about us, the crazy. Come on, he wants us healed physically, spiritually, and mentally. Come on. Spiritual healing wants us saved. Wants physically healing in your body. Soul healing in your mind. He wants it all lining up with his will. I know that he has not vexed any of you with the demon. It is not possible. Jesus got no demons. He's not giving them to you, okay? I know that. That's a revealed will of God for everybody. And I'm willing to prove that. Amen? I'm willing to prove that. Friday night worship team, come on. I'm talking about right now. I'm going to prove it tonight in the water as a baptism too. But we're going to prove it right now. Oh, Jesus, Holy Ghost, here we go. I am feeling good right now. Now, here's what's going to happen. There's a seeker-friendly model of church. This is going to be the opposite. This is kind of the opposite. I had a friend who said he went to a church in, he went to Bethel. It went through a fire tunnel, and he's like, that was a little weird to me. I was like, yeah. For us, that was weird for us. He was a little tame. Like, we're way on the... I was a little bored in it. I'm going to be honest with you. There was nobody screaming. Nobody was flopping around on the ground. Ha. Huh. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to sing. Deliverance is going to manifest in this song. Now, some of you, your healing is going to come through deliverance. And some of you are beginning to experience pain right now. I'm here to let you know that's only happening because you're about to get free. God is going to heal your body. I want you to stir your faith up right now. Can you prove the will of God in your life? I hope you feel challenged that God wants you to be able to prove the will of God in your life. Come on, Kellyanne told me, hey, listen, God talked to us about ministering to homeless people. I was like, yeah, prove it. I didn't say that. He's like, and so now when we see homeless people, we give them food, we give them clothes, we pray for them, we see them get saved. She's proving the will of God in her life. Patricia Pope told me that she feels called to India. She's proven it by moving to India. If you're not proving it, you could be wrong. I feel like I've proven some things in my life. I hope you have too. I know you have also. Here's what I want. Hit that for me, Clark, if you would. Stand with me. Now, I'm going to call some people forward in a moment that are going to get water baptized, but you're going to wait. And he's even giving some people a vision. You just had a vision just now of some water. I'm not putting that in your head, but you just saw it when I said that, and that's the Lord confirming to you. Tonight's your night. We're going to sing this song, and we got some time. We're going to sing this song, and he's going to stir something up on the inside of you. You're going to give him everything, and he's going to stir things in your heart. If you're still here, I don't want you to be alarmed when you begin to see angels enter the room. Come on, keep your faith active. Today's going to be a day of change for people in this house. Come on. Fire is beginning to land on some people right now. God is going to anoint you to prove His will in your life. Pray for the people getting baptized tonight. I know there's a couple people who can't be here this morning to be there tonight, but the rest, I want you to come forward. I want to pray for you real quick. So I have someone else I want to pray for, but I need you to come forward real quick so we can just pray for those. The Lord is telling you tonight you're getting water baptized. Maybe you recently gave your life to Christ. Maybe you've rededicated yourself to Jesus. Maybe just Jesus said it. Just like we take communion all the time. I've answered lots of altar calls. Maybe it's a new day for your water baptism. It's going to be deliverance in the water tonight. Ah. And have one more prayer direction in a second here. Ha. Ah. Listen, this is going to offend some people. We have a rule. Ah, if you have any level of authority in this house, if you're a coordinator, director, we just require you got to get water baptized once a year. You're like, well, that's just unbiblical, Pastor. I'm not saying to be saved. I'm saying you have to submit to the ministry of this house. And you got to check your heart once a year and say, I'm just again dying to my life. Huh. Woo, here we go. Just wait for me one more moment, folks. Yeah. Whoa. Is there anybody else? I feel like there's at least one more guy. I see a guy. But there might be a lady as well. Just want to obey the Holy Ghost. Just obey the Lord. Listen, if you're not right with God, this is the line you want to be in. Yeah. If you're not right with God, you're like, I'm going to get right with God today. I want to get in that kingdom. This is the line you want to be in, because we're going to tell you, we're going to pray with you and make that happen. And then we're going to water baptize you tonight. Oh, we got a lot of people here. Okay. Let me speed up here a little bit. Thank you, Jesus. Okay, you guys ready? Now it's about to get very exciting. Baptizees, you can go back to your seat. Come on. It's about to get very exciting.
Heaven come.
Give me two more minutes or so. Hear me. Here's what faith looks like. Jesus said his words are spirit and they're life. Yes? Amen? The Bible says that, right? Jesus said his words are spirit and life. He didn't say the words that only I speak are spirit and life. He said, my words are spirit and they are life. Right? Right? You're with me, right? 1 Peter 2:9, he said that you will proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness and into his marvelous light. Romans 12:2, he says that you may prove what is the will of God is, what is good and acceptable and perfect. Yeah? Here's what faith looks like. Faith is when you are standing in the kingdom, right? You are in the kingdom declaring the words of Jesus to those who are outside the kingdom. When you declare the presence of God into areas that do not prove his will. When you find areas in this world that do not prove the will of God, and you come to them in faith, knowing that you know what God's will is, and you begin to declare the word of God into it, his word will become spirit and it will become life in that dry area that is not proving his will. I hope you got that. That is our call. That is our call on the earth, is to spread the kingdom by allowing his spirit to manifest where his will is not being proved. That is our call, to stand in the kingdom and declare his word to areas that do not prove his will. That's how we spread this kingdom. Not through legalism, not through just feeding people. Feeding people may give us an ear. We use that ear to allow his life and his spirit to manifest where it was not. Now I want you to hold out your hands. Now it's going to get very exciting. This is kind of what I love to do. Close your eyes, hold out your hands. Listen, don't pray for anybody. You pray for you right now. Just, I want you to, keep playing. Don't stop what you're doing, worship team. And I don't believe. Here's what's going to happen. Here's what's happening, actually. Here's what has been happening for several years. But here's what's going to be amplified right now. The Spirit of God is here. And you're going to receive an impartation. It's a measure of faith, if you will. An area. Hear me. Okay, you were right. Just strum it down for a second. You were right. I told him to take it up. I need you to hear this. There's things that you may have felt called to do, that you were scared to do, you weren't sure if it was going to work. After this, you're going to know that you know that you know that you can do it. And the way you keep it is to go do it. Now, you can't make up what that is. You got to let the Lord tell you what it is. You don't get to tell him what it is. He'll tell you. Ready? Holy Ghost of God, right now. I release over, right now, I command in the name of Jesus, every lying spirit, every spirit of doubt, every spirit of religion, every false deity that has risen in the hearts of the people, you just want to leave now because it's not going to be good for you. Go. You go. You go. Now watch. Keep your eyes closed. I want you to see this. Some of you, the Lord's going to tell you to open your eyes because he's opening up a seer gift. Ha! Yep, the seers are already beginning to see it. If you're already seeing the angelic activity, you're seeing the visitation. Now, the Lord is showing you something right now. In the name of, you may be feeling something on your body. You may be hearing something. The Lord may be bringing something to remembrance that He's called you to. But right now, I release the fire of God over your call. I release the fire of God, and I release the angels of God. And I declare in the name of Jesus that the call of God will come forth on your life right now. And it will bubble to the surface right now. And I release faith upon your life right now. I release faith upon your life right now. Burning fire of God. Burning fire of God. Burning fire of God upon your life right now. Fire of God. Fire of God. The activities of the Holy Ghost right now. Jesus. He's looking for an amen. He's looking for a yes, sir. He's looking for, I will do that. I will be your one. You've got your man right here. He's looking for agreement. Come on. I call forth the prophetic gift right now in the name of Jesus. I call forth the prophetic evangelist. I call forth the prophetic evangelist who know mysteries in heaven and proclaim it to people curious about the mysteries and bringing the harvest into the kingdom. I call forth the prophetic evangelist. The miracle workers. Faith for miracles. I call forth the strange and unusual miracles. Right now for declaring God's word. Many of you saw yourself behind the podium. You saw yourself at an open field meeting or a stadium. That was the Holy Ghost telling you, get ready, get ready, get ready, get ready, get ready, get ready, get ready. Your words are going to expand the kingdom.
And the Lord is strengthening and sharpening your sword. He is sharpening your spear. He says, you hunt, hunter. You hunt. Father, we thank you for everything you've done today. Listen, if you got to go, we love you. We bless you. Come tonight. Come next week. Come in 2 weeks. Whatever. That's just really between you and the Lord. But we're just going to continue to receive from Jesus here. But I just bless you tonight. Or I bless you right now. Go in peace. If you say, I want more from God, show up early. Help set up. If you want more from Jesus, show up early. Help set up. See how people who live with victory, what their lives look like. Hallelujah. I'm going to pray one more time because I feel like the Lord wants to release one more thing. Don't stop. Don't stop. The Lord is raising up I don't know what this means, a movement of prophetic worship from a perspective of being New Testament priests. And right now he's giving people a revelation of what a New Testament priest is. And he's adding to that music. And I hear the Lord telling some people, you've thought about writing poetry recently. Maybe you did it when you were young. But he's like, I hear him saying, you need to be working that out now. Because when the songwriting wave comes, you want to be ready for it. Oh, that's interesting. Now I get it. Yeah. That's funny, Kellyanne, because I saw you, the Lord, I saw you surfing, but not really surfing. And the Lord says, it's funny because I'm getting you ready for the wave in a way that doesn't look like I'm getting you ready for it. And then he had the word. That's interesting. You got to be up to speed when the wave hits, otherwise, it just passes you by. Nothing worse than missing the perfect wave because you didn't pick up speed before it came. So I just released the songwriting, the writing, but the musical gifting, the musicianship. And I even feel like some of you are going to be in studying musicianship. So as we got about 15 minutes, if you're part of the teardown team and you can stick around, please do, because we need your help. But I just want to lay hands on everybody who feel like you got something. You can either lay on the ground here, like, I mean, you don't have to get up is basically what I'm saying, but I just want to agree with every person who got something. And if you come forward, just line up or stand somewhere in a crowd, and I just want to lay hands and just agree with what's happening in you. If I can get a couple catchers here also, that'd be awesome. I promise to pray for all my catchers.